fail, sure enough. That's right. If he'll let me, Brother Stephen, I believe he will. You know why? Because he loves the praise of his children. And I don't believe he'll deny me of that liberty to praise him for his goodness to me in the land of the living. That's right. Thank God. I'll tell you, I appreciate the good spirit tonight and the good service. And this is one of them nights, I'll be honest, that I wish we could just shout her out and go on to the house. But y'all didn't do that, so we'll take the service, do what we can do with it from here on. And Lord have mercy on that mess. I got ready at once today, and somebody put it back up here. I seen another one today. I'm going to tell you, you fellas is trying to load me up with gunpowder. Amen. I seen this Bikers for Jesus today. Now, Brother Wayne brought in something. And had this fellow said he's the pastor of that congregation. Said they meet on Friday night so they can go out and witness to other motorcyclists on Sunday. And I thought, how ignorant you can be. They'll break the commandment of God, forsake the house of God on God's day in the name of evangelism and religion. Don't realize that they're disobeying God in every precept to try to do what they think is doing right. People are deceived today, folks. I'm talking about greatly deceived. Amen. Old devils are working overtime. And you mark it down, he's got the hearts of people in the palm of his hand. And thank you, Brother Jason. He has got people deceived. And no doubt about it, there's a religion that is permeating this country that is not a religion of the Bible. Now, there is a pure religion and undefiled before God, but I'm here to tell you it's not meeting on Friday night and listening to some long-haired hippie get up and probably preach from an NIV Bible and then laying out of church on Sunday morning going to a bunch of bike rallies and things, thinking you're going to win a bunch of hippies out at a bike rally. When you're outside the will of God yourself. Here, Mother Hall, well, you won't win anybody to God if you're outside the will of God. Amen. That's right. You ain't going to win anybody to God and you living outside the will of God. You ain't going to get that done. Neither is them bikers. I'm going to tell you what they'll do. They'll do exactly like this easy believism crowd's done. They'll make men, women, boys, and girls a twofold more child of the devil. They'll get some little profession out of them, or they'll put some notion or idea. You see, that is the world's idea of salvation. If we can pump some philosophy or some idea into the minds of people and get them thinking that they're good and they're right, then that's all that it takes. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Salvation is more than an idea. It is more than a concept. It is more than a confidence. It is a regeneration of the spirit of man that brings a soul from death unto life and quickens you and makes you alive in Him. Gives you an ability to communicate with God. That's salvation. Somebody said, well, I've never talked to God. God help you. Amen. If you can't talk to God, you're in bad shape if you claim to be saved. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles again to Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, I don't know how many messages I'll preach on Moses, but I feel like I'll preach at least two more messages on Moses out of these particular verses that I'm in. And I'm by no means getting down to the depths of what's here. I don't believe I'm really spiritually qualified to get that far. There's more here than meets the naked eye. And I tell you, church, I'm not the same preacher as everybody else. I'm just going to preach how God gives me to preach and try to pass it on to you and testify a while and hope that God will help all of us. But this is some deep scripture. And I tell you, the life of faith, God devoted this entire chapter in this book to the virtue of faith. And we certainly, as His children, need to be made aware of that and have an understanding of what faith is. Somebody said, I want to perfect my Christianity and learn to be a perfect, mature Christian. May I say to you that the only way you can get started is to get started right, off the right foot, and that is to have the right foundation. And the foundation for Christianity is faith. Until you learn the foundation and get on that foundation and know that you are redeemed by the grace of God, and that there's not a devil in hell that's going to keep you out of heaven, then you're not going to excel in spiritual knowledge, and you're not going to mature in the graces of the Lord. And those three great graces, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest, no doubt, is charity. When we can mature to a place in our life where we love as we've been loved. Did you get that? When we can love as we have been loved, then we can say that we're halfway mature Christians. I don't know anybody yet that's arrived there. Anybody. I want to say that again, in case some of y'all didn't hear what I said. I don't know anybody that's arrived there as yet. Paul hadn't. And God give him the opportunity to write several books in the Bible. What makes us today think that we can arrive there? We ain't got there. Hebrews 11, please stand to your feet. Begin reading in verse number 24 again this evening. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I do ask you to pray for me. I just about preached everything on these verses that I know this morning, but I feel definitely led of God to come back and hit them one more time tonight and try to glean something from it for our souls. And so let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father, it's with great honor that I bow in Your presence tonight. And Lord, as humbly as I know how, I realize that this flesh is very proud. And I bow as humbly as I know how in the presence of Thee to pray, Lord, for Holy Ghost power and grace, and Lord, for precious liberty in the church to say everything that You've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I'm just clay, and I'm not a great orator, I'm not a great preacher, and so I need the help that can come from Thee. Touch these feeble lips of clay and move my heart that I might speak forth words of verity and truth and righteousness. Lord, that You might be magnified in everything that's said and done, that You might have the preeminence. And Father, that Your people might anchor their souls behind the veil in the faith of our Lord Jesus. And by the grace of God, look the devil square in the eye and walk through this world. And Lord, by the help and grace of God, stand someday on the other side, looking back, appraising You for the work that's been done. Save sinners, move in hearts, revive Your people, and do a work of grace that'll bring glory and honor to God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now I kind of have to talk my way into this. This morning, we reviewed chapter number 11. And the first seven verses, if you recall, I said, manifest the character, the nature and the character of a man that is saved by grace. And it primarily deals with our faith in the shed blood of the Son of God. I want to reiterate tonight that no sinner has ever been saved without the shedding of blood. And no sinner's ever been redeemed with anything other than the precious blood of the Son of God. For you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed freely for the remission of our sins. And then I mentioned section number 2, picking up with verse number 8, in the life of Abraham. And we saw there that this, the character of our conversion there, is that life of obedience, where Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. Hey, folks, you can be obedient to God and not have a real knowledge of what you're doing. I sat in our house this afternoon and told my wife, I would to God I knew what the Holy Ghost was doing in the church. I don't really know what God's doing right now. I just know God is doing.
Yes, sir. Right.
I don't know what he's doing. I know he is doing. But I'm not gonna pull back and withdraw from the will of God. I don't know what God's doing, but God is doing something. I'm watching Him change your heart. I'm experiencing Him changing my heart. And I think that's exactly the work of God in our life, is to change our hearts. Do you know, if you've got a problem with somebody, I'm going to tell you how to get victory over that. Don't pray and ask God to change them. Pray and ask God to change you. He'll come nearer to changing you than He will changing them. That's right. Amen. I'm telling it right. If you've got a problem loving somebody, ask God to change you. Don't ask God to change them. Ask Him to change you and give you the ability to love them. That's right. And so obedience. Those next, Abraham showed implicit obedience. And then when we come to the life of Moses, these verses before us, we see here that the conversion experience, or the conversion of a man, or the life of a man, is that he must make a choice by his own free will and serve God out of will and out of mind and out of choice. And that's right. And that's what we see in the life here of Moses. The Bible said that after he come to years. Now, I don't have time to turn back there, but if you was to turn back to Exodus chapter number 2, you could find there the account in Moses' life where when he became a grown man, the Bible says it's clear that when he was grown, that he saw his brethren and the burdens that they were under. And Moses went out to them to try to be a comfort and a help to them. He murdered an Egyptian and covered that Egyptian in the soil of Egypt. And then the next day he saw two Hebrews fighting with one another. And he went out to settle them, and they had seen what he had done the day before. And it frightened Moses. It frightened Moses. But he had already decided in his heart, church, that he was not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin in the palace of Pharaoh, but that he would take his stand with the people of God. He had already made that choice. I want to say to you tonight, without a doubt, my mind is made up. Brother, I've got my foot on the rock. My mind's made up. I've done went too far in this journey to turn back now. There's not a thing in the world that I desire. There's nothing that I want. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glad I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm glad I'm numbered amongst the children of God. There's nothing in the world that I desire. Although the devil in the world is enticing and alluring, but by the grace of God, I've set my faith upon things above, and if God will give me grace, help, and strength, I'm going to keep on a preaching and a praying and a praising and serving God until the trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, hallelujah, I'm getting out of this mess. Amen. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. We're so impatient, and we think we got to do everything, get everything done today. I'm learning that we've always, like the Mexicans, we've got manana. There's always manana. And like I said, when there's no more mananas, who'll give a flip? Amen. That's right. I'm just simply saying, folks, that Moses there, what it says, when Moses there, when he come to years, I said this morning that he was not a little boy. But he was 40 years old. He had come to years. And it was when he reached that age of accountability that Moses made the decision in his life that he would serve God and suffer the afflictions and the reproaches of the children of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I'm about ready to get to my message. Let's just hang in there. Let's look at the first thing that Moses done. I want to say, number one, in verse 24, he had to make a refusal. He had to refuse something. He said that the Bible said that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be identified with worldlings.
He refused, my friend, to be affiliated with the children of the devil. He would rather suffer affliction with the children of God down in the slime pit than he would to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and all of the luxuries and the blessings that was afforded unto him in the palace of Pharaoh. That's right. So he refused something. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what did he refuse? Let me say, he refused a position. Now, we ain't going to jump no pews. But he refused a position. Did you know that by him being the daughter of Pharaoh, that he was next in line for the throne of Egypt? That's right, and that throne couldn't even entice him. That lucrative position of life, that prestigious position in life, could not even entice Moses to hang with that worldly crowd and to go on living in a life of sin. No, sir. Position, I'm telling you, he had to refuse and surrender and give up that worldly position in his life before it ever amount to anything for God. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I don't know what position in life you may have, in the world you may have, but mark her down, brother, if God calls on you to give up that position you have, you'll either have to surrender that or die in your sin and go to hell, whatever that position may be. Amen. Now, God may not ask you to give up that position. There's another man I mentioned this morning by the name of Daniel. I don't know what Daniel was before the captivity in Babylon. He may have very well been a prince in Judah. Or Daniel may have been a prophet in Judah. I'd come near to believing that he might have been one of the princes or one of the men that led one of the tribes. But at any rate, Daniel was not an elevated man. But when he was carried into Babylon, it was there in Babylon that God exalted Daniel and set him on the throne down in that land as a president over all the presidents and princes. God did not ask him to give up his position. I think of a man by the name of Joseph. God brought Joseph from Canaan land down into the land of Egypt, and it was there that God exalted him to a position of governor of that land. God did not ask him to give up that position. But friend, it's just the opposite in the life of Moses. Moses was brought up around wealth. He was brought up around luxury. He was brought up around money. You hear me well? I'm telling you right now, there is a miracle there, because there's not many mighty, not many noble are called. I'm telling you, and it's easy for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. You talking about a miracle? Down there was a miracle. There was a man that had possession. But God said, Moses, what do you want the worst? Do you want me or that position? What's worth more to you, me or the position that you hold in this present life? I think it might have been what I said this morning. The way God works, I don't understand all about the way God works. But I can read the Bible. And he said in James chapter 1, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Joseph was exalted. Daniel was exalted. Let him rejoice in that. But he also says, but the rich in that he is made low, you let him rejoice in that. Now, I'm telling you, God's got His ways, friend, of elevating the poor and bringing down the rich. That's right. Amen. I don't know. That's right. I don't know what position that you might hold in life, but it don't have to be a governor of the land or a president of a land. It can be some position in life that you honor, that you cherish, that you love. And I'm telling you, if you put it above God, you will die in your sin and go to hell without God and without hope. I will, hey, son, we're eat up with money in America. We're eat up with wealth and prestige and position. I've never seen so many people are scrambling over little old penny anti-political positions to try to get their name up in lights or on a marquee or on a neon sign. But old Moses said, I don't need my name up in lights. All I need is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Honey, that's good enough for me to be right my name down in heaven. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Position. Yeah. He refused a position in life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I'm reading between the lines. But I kind of got a feeling that when he told his adopted mother what he was going to do, she may have tried to stop him. You don't know what you're doing, Moses. You're throwing everything down the tube. You throwing a life. You throwing everything. God's given you this. But no, she probably said, Pharaoh has given you this on a silver platter. May I say to you tonight, and I say this in love, and I say it as honestly, humbly as I know how, I'd rather eat dung in the dirt and live for God as to eat off the devil's silver platter any day of the week. That's right. Amen! That's right. I'd rather live off of parched corn in the new land and a little bit of manna from heaven than I would to enjoy the delicacies of the king's table. Bless your heart. Hallelujah to God. I sat down today and eat some good old pinto beans. I didn't see anything wrong with them. Amen. That's right. That's right. Somebody said, "Why? Hey, there's delicacies in there. Don't you know that the proverb writer said, if you a man given to appetite, sit down at the king's table, love delicacies, put a knife to your throat.
That's right.
Don't you be given to his delicacies. Oh, no, sir. There was a man that was brought up in the palace. Son raised with a silver spoon in his mouth. Had everything in life that he needed. But God said, Moses, what do you want more, me or that life that you're living and the wealth and the position you have? Oh, Moses, look down at them people of his down in those old brick pits and slime. Stomping in that mud, despised of Pharaoh and despised of the Egyptians, hated in their eyes, loathed, despised, living in disgrace. But oh, you look here. But I'm telling you, when he looked that way and saw his people living in disgrace, he looked that way and saw an invisible God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And he said, that down there is just for a season. Amen. But this pleasures of sin is for a season here and hell for an eternity. And he took a good look. Are y'all listening to me? Let us sit down and reason together, saith the Lord. That's what Moses done. He sat down and reasoned with God. And he realized it was better to suffer a little affliction now and wind up in glory than to have the pleasures of this world and die and go to hell. Bless your heart. That's right. Position. Refusal. When he come to years, wasn't a Jack Hiles convert. He'd up here at one of the steakhouses. He'd up here at one of the steakhouses a while back. And they had some of them little old baby corn cobs on the salad bar. I don't know. They're about that long. They just look like little corn on the cob to me. I don't know what they are. I looked at them things. I told Miss Hall, I said, Jack Hiles been in here. She said, Hiles ain't been in here. I said, sure he has. She said, how do you know Jack Hiles been here? I said, look, that whole bowl full of corn, son. He picked every one of them green. Picked them before they grew. You hear me well. Don't get weary if that little boy of yours ain't made a profession of faith at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Don't get upset if that little girl ain't walked the aisle and made a little silly profession of faith. Hey, pray and let God get a hold of their heart that when they come to years to an understanding, the Holy Ghost can get a hold of them and convert them by the grace of God. Amen. When he come to years, he refused. I will not. I will not be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. My mama's down yonder. My daddy's down yonder. My people's down yonder. You young folks, look right up here and listen to Brother Hall. What about your mommy and daddy? Some of you young folks in here might need to get born again by the grace of God this night. Have you looked down at mommy and daddy living down in the slime pits? That's what old Moses said. My mommy is saved. My daddy is saved. I don't want the family circle to be unbroken on the other side. That's right. That is right. Amen. And so, he had to refuse. There was a refusal. He had to refuse the position. May I say to you, he had to refuse some privileges. Do you know there is privileges with position? There's privileges with wealth. That's right. Oh, you can have this world. Some of y'all are looking at me green around the gills. Hey, this man had privileges that you and I know nothing about. That's right. It's until Brother Matthias told me this morning, said that fella down in Florida, somebody told him that he had shares. I'm talking about this designer that was killed on the streets down there. This wealthy man. I'm talking about this stinking fag, sodomite, queer. That's right. The FBI's 10 most wanted list. Sunday, Brother Matthias said, preacher, said he had shires. Said my people told me he had shires in his house. Not shires, shires. Big enough to hold 8 and 10 men at a time, where that bunch of sodomites could get in them shires and have their little heyday together in them shires. Said he had all the money that he ever needed. But hey, are y'all listening to me? Standing on the sidewalk in front of his house, a lover boy put the bullets to him, and that wealthy man went to hell from the sidewalk of his house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me ask you, whose wealth is it then? Who's got all of his money now? What good did position and privileges and wealth do for that man now? He's in hell. Can you imagine how that man felt 3 seconds after he got to hell? 3 seconds after he got to hell. Can you imagine how he felt? There was a man that was accustomed to having maids and butlers and people waiting on him, telling this and to do this and this and to do that, dressing in fine clothes, driving any kind of an automobile he wanted, flying anywhere all over the world. Hey, they cremated his body and took his ashes to Europe and buried Paris and buried him there. Hey, that's right, they burned his body. I'm going to tell you what, his body ain't a-burning no more. But that faggot soul is still in hell, on fire in hell, and it'll burn there forever. Can you imagine closing your eyes to a mansion on this side and all that wealth, and 3 seconds later, opening your eyes up in hell, wondering, what on earth am I doing here? How did I get here? What's going on in my life? I'm going to tell you what happened. There was a man that chose. There was a man that chose, my friend, the position and the privileges that this life could give him rather than choose the affliction and the sufferings of the people of God. Amen. Oh, yeah, there's privileges. I want to say this to you. There's privileges for a lost man that's poor as Job's turkey that you and I saved don't have. If we say, I don't have the privilege to lay out down here at the beach naked. Everybody look at me now. I'm just human. My wife and I used to love the water. We live in it. Mama could swim like a feather and I'd sink like a rock. Say amen right there. We love the water. That's right. And it wouldn't be no problem. Hey, it wouldn't be no problem for me to be down at the lake on Saturday and Sundays. Nobody. I'd love it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I had to fight it and get the victory. Are y'all here? You've had to fight it, didn't you, Steve? Amen. Steve and Tammy used to come to church on Sunday morning. I'd bust their hide and they'd head to the lake on Sunday night. They'd come back next Sunday morning. I'd bust their hide about going to the lake. They'd go back next Sunday night. But oh, something happened. Hallelujah to God. Something happened. Yeah, new birth, regeneration, born again. Amen. Now they sitting in here on Sunday nights are suffering for Jesus. Why, the worldlings, they don't have to have much money to go down to the theater house. That's a good privilege. Why, I used to like hop along and cast himself. Superman, all that other bunch. I'm going to tell you what I like now. Preaching! Praying and praising! Worship! That's the house of God! Fellowship with the redeemed. That crowd down there are blowing their cigarette smoke in my face and cussing like a bunch of sailors. Amen. Talking like a bunch of sailors. Hey, I don't hold nothing for me. No. No, sir. Somebody said, yeah, but you don't understand. They're getting by real good. Yeah, but paydays are coming. Payday Sunday, buddy. It's not always on Friday. Paydays around the corner. Mark her down. That's right, those privileges. Those privileges. In luxury today and in hell tomorrow. That was a rich man in Luke 16. Fared, dressed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. But I'm going to tell you something. Old Lazarus waited his gate full of sores, begging the crumbs that fell from his table. But mark her down. The rich man died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, begging torments. The beggar also died, but there's a big difference. The angels made a trip from heaven all the way to this earth. And carried old Lazarus right on into the Abraham's bosom. Miss Hall got a little Bible trivia thing at a yard sale the other day. And Jordan Ashley and Elizabeth were sitting up at the house looking at it the other night. And had on there said, Abraham's bosom. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And Abraham's bosom is a picture of what? And she didn't know what it was. She turned over on her side and she said, Poppy, said this card says that Abraham's bosom is a picture of heaven. I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, it is. It's a picture of heaven. That old beggar man laying his head in the bosom of the Father. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Hey, he might have refused the position and the privileges and the pleasure, but honey, he woke up with his head in the bosom of Abraham while the rich man Dives was a burning in hell. And I got news for you. He's still arresting and Dives is still a screaming. That's right. Now he refused the pleasures as well. That's right. He refused the pleasures as well. That's what it says in our text. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction, the people of God, than enjoy the pleasures of sin for sin. Now, I've never been able to figure out why people would want to trade joy for pleasures. There's much more joy. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. It's not pleasures, folks. It's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's right. What was it the psalmist said? At thy right hand in thy presence is pleasures forevermore. Let me read it. I don't tell it to you, huh? At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, yes. Jesus said, these words have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Yes. Amen. Oh, beloved John in John chapter number 1 said, these things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. Let me ask you something tonight. Is your joy full or are you living in pleasures? Pleasures is for a season, buddy. They'll come to an end. But my verse in the book 16 chapter of Psalms said, at thy right hand, there's joy, there's pleasures, joy forevermore, evermore, 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 hallelujah to God. I don't understand what God is all going to, but it's going to be good, Josh. Who wouldn't give up swimming in a bikini down here and showing off their little buns to get up there and take a dip in a glorified pool? I'm going to tell you something. Folks love these sports. They love them baseball and sport crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus hit 2 home runs in the basement of our church today.
Yeah, man.
In the basement of our house. 1 this morning, 1 tonight. Hit the long ball, boys. That's right. I'm going to tell you something else. He scored the winning touchdown back yonder on Calvary. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He scored the touchdown, friend. That's right. He won the game. He's the victor. Hallelujah to God. I give it, Jesus. Take the word, but give it Him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Then I want to say, not only do I see a refusal, but I see a relinquishment. I'm about to get fed up with that thing. Hallelujah. That generally comes off the fat man, you think it'll stay on me. I've seen it fall off, Brother Griffith, and some of these Brother Anderson, some of these heavyweights. You think it'll stay on me? You're in a good mood. Listen to me, okay? He had to relinquish. Look here. He had to relinquish that position, that privileges, and those pleasures. He had to relinquish them, but at the same time, he had to embrace something. Friend, that is repentance and faith. Are you hearing, Brother Hall? Relinquishing the world and all of its pleasures and turning to God is repentance. But embracing Jesus Christ and resting in Him is faith. Bless your heart. That's right. Hallelujah to God. You know what I say we ought to do? Give Jesus a big bear hug. Hallelujah to God. Yes, give Him a big bear hug. Wrap your arms around Him and embrace Him and cleave to Him like a man would cleave to his wife and never let Him go. Yes, Brother Jerry. Hallelujah to God. Put your arms around Him and love Him. Never let Him go. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Now, I've already covered these, but I want to mention them, all right? There's three things that Moses had to relinquish to embrace Christ. That's what it says in our text. He chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And he esteemed the riches, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Are y'all hearing me? He had to relinquish something before he could ever embrace Jesus as Christ, as Lord, as Savior of his life. And I've already mentioned these. There's three things in life now that a man treasures. Life, wealth, and honor. Are you hearing me? Everybody treasures them. Life. There's nothing, no greater a treasure than life. That's right. My life. I want my life. I've got an old pocket knife. I bought from Buster down there. And he's got on that stupid old saying that Elvis Presley wrote. So, I did it my way. That's right. That's his life. That's the life he had to relinquish. My way. My life. Me doing it. My life. Hey, you ain't going to get to heaven living your life. No, sir. Somebody said, what do you preach on, Brother Hall? Is my conversion real? Are you really in? Are you on the ark? Have you been born again? Have you been sealed into the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Ghost? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you resting fully in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Are you? That's what we're talking about. Is my conversion real? Have you really turned loose of the world and reached out with both arms to embrace the Son of God? Have you given up your life? Have you given up your wealth? Have you given up your honor that you might embrace Him? Now somebody said, Brother Hall, do you have any scripture for that? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 16. I want you to turn there. I want you to see this. It's familiar. It's familiar. Everybody knows it. And I want to show you something that I've never seen until today. I want to show you something I've never seen till today. I want to read these verses. I'm perfect liberty right here. I'm going to from verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Pretty strong words to be saying to one of his hand-picked chosen people. Get thee behind me, Peter, Satan, get behind me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. May I say to you that Moses lost his life, that he might find it. His life, what he wanted, what I want to do. Hey, everybody look right up here at me. Buddy, God just may not want you doing everything you want to do. Let me ask you, let me just put y'all on the spot. What would y'all do that's got a pretty lucrative position, making pretty good money, if God put you on the spot and said, I want you to give that up for me and do something else?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what's big in Kentucky, all over Kentucky, horses. What would you do if God said, give up your horses? Come on now, don't run off. When he says a man that'll find his life is going to have to lose it, that life that you're going to have to lose is those things that you deem necessary to you, that you've got to have, that you can't live without, buddy. That's right. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, isn't it wonderful? That as soon as he left that old world, it wasn't long till he looked up on a mountain one day and said, under God, I see a sight like I've never seen a sight before. Woo! What long after he lost his life that he found God on the mountaintop? Have you ever been on the mountain with God? Well, I've been on the mountain with Jesus. Woo! I've even been in the valley below. But never has he ever failed me. When I to him with all my troubles, I'd go. Thank God. Amen. That's right. Right back there is a living example of exactly what I'm trying to preach. Now, I wouldn't say it to some of y'all, because God may... Now, look here. God may not be telling you to give up nothing. I'm telling you what he done in Moses' life. I am going to say this, that if your life is lived for you and you're selfish in doing what you want to do rather than what God wants you to do, then you're wrong in what you're doing. Right back there is a man and his wife. Had that little old barber shop over there. Making little money, wasn't you, Brother Doug? That was Doug's life. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he didn't have a big afro hairdo. Was it afro? I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. He looks like I knew it. Him a cutting hair and he needed one. Had everything going his way. That was his life. Tanning booths, cutting hair. Beer bashes on the weekend. Cool. Don't mess with me, man. But I'm going to tell you, he got interrupted.
Pardon me.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Pardon me, Doug. Yes, Lord, who art thou? I'm Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes, sir.
Lord, what will thou have me to do?
Oh,
first thing I want you to do, Doug, is sell them stinking clippers you got. But Lord, this is my life. I know it. But if you want to save your life, you're going to have to lose it. If you want to find your life, you're going to have to lose your life.
Yeah,
but Lord, these two, what about my tanning boost? Got to go, Doug.
Amen.
Got to relinquish your life.
Yes.
Now follow me. Don't leave me. I want to show you something here. Then he said in the next verse, for what is a man? What is a man profited if he loses, shall gain his, all, the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's his wealth. What would it profit? That's talking about profit. What profit? If a man that if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul.
Amen.
There's the relinquishing of that wealth. Hey, look here. Your wealth to you may not be but a pension check, buddy. But if it stands between you and God, you're in bad trouble.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I'm going to come back and show you something that God's never showed me until today. I want to show it to you. But in that next verse, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works.
Amen.
There is the honor. There's the honor we ought to shoot for, folks, is the reward of Him. When He comes, He'll reward every man according. That's the honor I want. Oh, let Madonna put her name up in the marquee lights. Let all the Hollywood stars, let Michael Jordan stuff his tonsils with a basketball. Let them idiots put all that milk around their lips and dive underwater and jump, climb trees and play polo and all that mess. Let them have all that stuff.
Right.
Amen. Let the faggots and the Cubans have Miami Beach, Florida. I don't give a flip.
Okay.
Let them have all that mess. This world's not my home. No. No, that's not the... I'm telling you, look here. Everybody's a scrambling to get to the top. I don't care what you are. And I'm telling you, we're seeing it in the lives of preachers. Even preachers, Brother George. I want everybody to know me. I want everybody to know who I am. Man, when I walk into a camp meeting, I want them to get down and grabble at my feet, buddy, and kiss my big toe just like they would the Statue of Mary down there at Guadalupe. I want them to get down and suck around on my big toe. I'm telling you, I'm so sick and tired of that bunch of junk. It don't matter. Hey, look here. We're in competition all over America. Whatever we are, we want to be number one in whatever we're doing. Never occurred to you that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, and he did not want the position God gave him. I'll tell you, most men that make it in the life serving God are those men that really do not want what God makes them take. Think on that a little while. That bunch of Southern Baptists jumping from one church to another every 18 months to get the bigger church. Don't ever see any of them going down the ladder. Well, Brother Hall, I'm climbing Jacob's ladder. No, you ain't. You're climbing your little ladder of prestige. You want to be number one. You want to be Dr. Doolittle at the convention. So when I don't know who must be out there listening, but I hope, bless God. So you want to be Dr. Doolittle at the convention, buddy. So when the convention hammer comes down, they call Dr. So-and-so will be our first speaker of the day. I'm telling you, are y'all hearing me? I'm sick of it. And you go to camp meetings and all you hear is, wonder who will be the main speaker.
Yeah. Right.
Main speaker. What do you mean main speaker?
Yeah.
I saw a main up here along the highway that was yesterday and it was leaking water. It was a water main. Can I tell you what dogs do to water mains? I'm tired of it. Hey, look here. No wonder we're godless in our society. We want the honored position. We want the chief of seats in the uppermost room and men to call us rabbi in the marketplaces. Want people to bow to us. No more than a church member, and yet we want other church members to bow to us because we appear to be more spiritual and more mature than they are. And I know more than you do. Therefore, bow at my feet, you stinking heathen. That's right. I don't want nobody bowing for me, at me. I'm going to be honest with you. Brother Mike ain't here, and I'm not saying this to chide Brother Mike. I'm serious. But when last Sunday night Brother Mike was preaching, and he bowed down here and said, I've always been your servant. Before, if he had waited there two more seconds, I'd have said, Brother Mike, get up. I am a man just like you.
Amen.
Worship him, buddy. That's what they said in the book of Revelation. Don't bow down at my feet. You worship God.
Amen.
I don't want you worshiping me.
Amen.
Worship God. That honor. Now I want to show you something here. What I saw. Jesus, I'd never realized this, but in verse number 21 of that scripture, Jesus tells them that His suffering, His death, and His resurrection, and here comes old brother Peter and said, oh no, brother, said no, said be it far from thee, Lord, let these things be far from thee. Here's what Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. And the very next statement, if any man, will have me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You know what Jesus is saying there? Jesus is saying, I'm looking you right in your God-given eyeballs and telling you, Peter, if you want me, then you're going to have to die on the same cross I die on. You're going to have to lose your life just like I'm losing my life. I said this at Brother Nolan's. Let me say it here. And this is not original. Brother Elliot Smith told me this. I don't mind telling you. Said, here's what God showed him. Said, in every Christian's life, every sinner's life that gets saved, there is a repeat of the last night of Christ in their life. Said, there is a Gethsemane experience where they're under the load of condemnation and the guilt of sin. That's called conviction. He said, there is a Pilate's hall of judgment where they stand before the judge and are judged guilty of that sin that they have. They said, then there is a Calvary experience where all are crucified with Christ. They must die. And then there is a garden tomb experience where they're all resurrected. Here's what Brother Smith said. He said, preacher, I'm satisfied that most Baptists and churches today made their profession at the judgment hall without ever going to Calvary. Y'all get what I'm saying? You're guilty. All right, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I must be saved. No, you've got to go on and die. You've got to lose your life. You've got to lose your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must. You cannot be saved if you do not lose your life. You'll never find your life in Him. That's right. My time's come and gone. I want to mention these things and I'm going to close. There's a refusal. There's a relinquishment. And then there's a reproach that must be carried. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Ah, the reproach of the cross. What reproach? The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me, Jesus said. You know what this reproach is? Disgrace. Shame. Did you know that there is a disgrace and a shame in serving God? The cross is not a pretty thing.
That's right.
See, the health and wealth boys have painted up Christianity to make it look entirely opposite and different from what it really is. There's the bitter herbs with it, boys.
Amen.
The bitter and the sweet go together. There's a cross, brother, and there's reproach to that cross. He despised the shame, according to the Hebrew writer. He despised the shame. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, but He despised the shame of that cross.
Right.
And is now set down at the right hand of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yes. Most folks want the crown without the cross. I told the Sunday school class this morning that most folks want the crown without ever getting into the battle. Reproach. He was willing. Are you hearing me? And when Moses, and I'll repeat this tonight, when Moses made that decision to suffer the reproaches and the affliction of his people was before God ever called him to be a deliverer of that nation. He was not expecting to be exalted to that position. He was willing to take his place, to chunk it all, and take his place in the slime pits making bricks. You hear me tonight? If you're not willing to chunk it all and take the lowliest position as a nobody at the house of God, you will never get saved by the grace of God. That's right. That's right. I think a whole lot of folks have seen the preacher in his 3-hour duty a week preaching. And they say, oh my, what a glamorous position. That's what I want to do and I'm going to get saved and do that. Son, you're badly fooled.
Amen.
Let me tell you what you don't see. You don't see knights in a recliner chair. And you don't see long nights and lonely nights. You don't see hour after hour alone without the fellowship that most of you enjoy. You don't see the burden and the labor of trying to prepare. I'm honest with you, church. I'm doing my best to prepare 4 messages a week. I'm just not trying to come down here, bless God, just open the book and take a text and open my mouth and hope God to fill it. I'm trying to get something out of this book to give to you. And it takes time. Somebody said, oh, the preacher don't ever do anything. Get to lay around the house. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you, son. If you think I'm honest before God, Brother Doug, I felt about as preachy this afternoon as a tadpole would feel. And I sat in that recliner after Brother Jacobs and his wife had left the house, and I sat in that recliner and trying to rest a little while, and the phone rang, and I answered the phone. And after I answered the phone, I picked my Bible back up, and it just didn't seem like nothing had come, just nothing there. And I said, God, I said, I don't even feel like going to church, but here's what I said. Here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, how can I get up and tell them people that when things are rough, go out and then lay down on the job myself? God forbid. I said, give me something. I don't know what, but give me something to say to them. And I'm telling you, I believe God's given me something. Hallelujah. Right. Reproach of the cross. Look here. Oh, I like this. Old Brother Paul said, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. Hallelujah to God. Listen to what Brother Peter said. Brother Peter said this, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. Are y'all here happy? You know what I think old Moses done? I believe Moses turned around and looked at Pharaoh's daughter and said, bye-bye, happy am I. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip it on down to the house where the people of God. That's right. I'm turning around. Amen. He waved goodbye to it all, and with joy and happiness suffered the reproach and the affliction of the people of God. Amen. It's worth it. It's worth it. It will be worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. Man. May I say to you, there's reproach in the cross. He was reproached. There's reproaches through criticism. You know how much Jesus was criticized? I'm not going to turn to these. But in Luke 15:2, you know what they said? They said, that guy eats with sinners and publicans. They criticized his fellowship. They criticized his fellowship. Said, well, he eats with publicans. He eats with sinners. How many of your family members have said, over there with Hall, huh? If he had toned it down, he might get some people in the church. Who wants a bunch of lost hellions in here? Slide off a church pew comfortably into hell? Well, I'd like to have a barn full. But son, you don't get it full by turning the heat down. I believe you should have full. Bless God. Turn the burner up a little bit. That's right. Pour on the steam. Come down to church and preach and let folks know you got something in your soul. Amen. They criticized him. Criticized him about his fellowship. They criticized him about his faith. In Luke chapter number 7, there was when Mary Magdalene began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head, cried the tears, washed him with the hairs of her head, and began to kiss his feet. Here is exactly what Simon said. He said, that man ain't a prophet. If he knew, if he was a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman that was, a kissing all over his feet. Well, he ain't right with God. That man ain't a preacher. How many times? You ain't no preacher. You don't love nobody. You're a hate monger. Fellow, fella called in here the other day. I'm not being smart about it. A fella called in here the other day, Brother Doug, talking to that Brother Doug. And he said, who is that guy preaching on that radio right now? Brother Doug said, well, it's Brother Travis Clayton. He's preaching on Brother Don Anderson's broadcast. And that guy said, I like about everything I hear on there. But he said, I'm telling you, that guy's went too far. That I can't tolerate him. He said, he's teaching people to lie. Brother Doug said, what did he say? He said, he told whoever he's preaching, he told them people, said, if there's any young girls out there, and a man, young man ever got fresh with her, said she ought to act like she dropped her contact lens in the floorboard of the car and reach down and take her shoe off and beat him to death with the heel of it. Said, that guy's teaching violence and hate. And said, I just can't. I want to reiterate that. If you ever put your hand on you, don't reach down and get a high heel. Carry a ball bat with you. Pull out a ball bat and beat his stinking brains out with it. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why, he ain't a preacher. That's what they said about Jesus. Reproach. How could anybody criticize the Son of God and accuse him of not being a holy, devout man?
Right.
You know what they said? He's for sinners and publicans. You know what they said? Said, well, he casts out devils by the prince of the devils. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
They criticized him. What reproach? I'm saying all that to say this. If you're going to take up that cross, you might as well get ready to bear the shame of it. If you're going to live for God, you might as well put you back against a wall and get prepared for criticism. Somebody, and chances are, it'll be from your very family. They don't understand. They will not understand. They'll criticize you. I'm going to tell you something else people criticize you for. There's reproach in. David said, is there not a cause? And his brother said, I know that naughtiness of your little heart. You've come down here to watch the battle, you little devil. Why aren't you back there watching them few little bleating sheep? Old David said they're not a cause. You mark her down, buddy. We get in there on that radio and start fighting for the cause of old-time religion, holiness, righteousness. Amen! You watch the telephones ring. No, they used to ring. They don't even ring no more. They just turn it off. You know why they turn it off? Everybody listen. They turn God off. Then I want to say there's a reward. There is a reward. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now look here. For he had respect. There's three R's. Respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Amen.
He had respect to that reward. Do you know what that word means? I'm not a Greek scholar, but you know what that word means? Respect. I just looked it up. It means to look away from everything else. It means to intently regard. He looked away from everything else. He looked away from all that wealth, power, prestige, life, pleasures, position, all of that. And he looked to nothing but that reward. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we'll set our eyes on the judgment seat of Christ and realize someday we're going to stand there, it'd change all of us. That's right. It'd change our life drastically if we'd realize that that's our reward up there. If we had respect unto it. And then that word recompense, it means compensation for services rendered. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why, Brother Hall? For your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's right. He said, hey, I may have to give up this now, but I'm going to be compensated for it down the road. You may have to give up some things now, but compensation time. It's like that story. They may have the song about it in here. I told it in Mexico, and I thought Brother Bill Williams was going to rapture. I said there was a story about this man that went off to the mission field. And he spent all of his life on the mission field serving God. And he made his trip home, and when he come home off the mission field, he traveled on the same ship with some well-known dignitary that had been off on some kind of an excursion, probably Hillary Clinton. Tax dollars, paying her way around the world. But when they docked in New York Harbor,
story says that when they docked, the bands were playing, trumpets were sounding, music a ringing, dignitaries all around, the red carpet was rolled out, and that dignitary walked down that gangplank, people throwing flowers and cheering him and praising him for a job well done while he was on an ambassador's trip to a foreign land. And when he was gotten down, they rolled up the red carpet, bands left, everybody left. And it said that the old missionary walked to the edge of the gangplank and all the crowds was gone. Nobody there but just him and a couple of shipmen milling around. Said he looked around and he said, "Lord, this is not fair." Said, "There's that man that's a worldling, that's lived his life in this world and done nothing for you." And said, "He's received all of the glory. And here I've given my life for you on a foreign field. My body is gone. I'm soon to die and be buried." And said, "I've given everything that I've ever had. I've given my whole life to you." And said, "And there's no bands playing. There's no songs being sang. And there's no welcoming committee here to welcome me home." And the old man said, "About that time, the Holy Ghost touched him and said, 'Son, let me remind you, you're not home yet.'"
Amen.
We're going home someday, church. That is the reward we need to be shooting for. It's when we're going home. Is your conversion real? You stand the criticism and the reproach. Can you relinquish all that this world has? Turn your back on it that you might live for God. Can you do that? Let's stand together.